I just feel like this morning somebody going through something. And you need to hear this.
Yeah.
morning, Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Erica. Good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. I thank God this morning for just being God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 11:23-26. All hearts and minds clear. 5, received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. Okay, I've got a lesson this morning if you want me to go ahead.
You can go ahead. You can go ahead.
Okay. This one is concerning leadership. And I got to this through the last lesson that I taught. But as I teach this one, you'll hear me use the words complain, complaining, and complaints. But you may prefer another term, such as grumble, gripe, accuse, fret. But I chose complain. So as I read the account of Moses in the Old Testament, I have always been amazed at the way he spoke to God. He obeyed, but he also made complaint in the presence of God after being given a command.
Mm-hmm.
A few examples. God commanded Moses, go unto Pharaoh. In Exodus 3:11, Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And God said, I will be with thee. God commanded Moses, speak to the children of Israel. Moses says in Exodus 3:13, what shall I say unto them? And they will not believe me. So God gave him miracles to perform. Rod became a serpent. His hand became leprous and then clear again. And he gave them a third sign, should they not believe the first two, that
mm-hmm.
water taken from the river become blood when poured onto the land. I guess Moses supposed this was not enough. So he finds another excuse, complaining that he's not eloquent in speech, saying he was slow of speech and slow of tongue. In Exodus 4:12, God says, I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say.
Amen.
Not even that was enough for Moses. He asked God to send someone else. And in Exodus 4:14, God gave him Aaron to go with him. Now, these are a few of Moses' complaints. But, you know, in our case, so oftentimes you hear people say what they would do in a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say that you never know for sure what you would do or how you would react in a situation unless you were in the situation.
That's right.
But nevertheless, Moses takes his journey, and Aaron meets him in the wilderness as God commanded him. So now with Aaron by his side, they do as the Lord commanded. My point here is that Moses complained to God concerning his command, and God hearkened to the voice of Moses. Every time Moses complained, God answered. But Moses and God had a special relationship, so much so that God said there arose no other like him in the land. So my first point is be careful how you respond to God's commandment. But the scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now we come to a time when the children of Israel began to complain. And they started actually before they left Egypt, when Moses first demanded that Pharaoh let God's people go. Pharaoh increased their workload. They were no longer to be given straw to make bricks, but they had to gather it for themselves wherever they could find it and still maintain the number of bricks they were making. Thereby, they began to complain, first to Pharaoh, then to Moses and Aaron. Then Moses complained to the Lord concerning the matter in Exodus 5 and 22. Moses didn't go to the Lord and ask what he should do, but he said in Exodus 5 and 22, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it thou hast sent me? He was complaining, but for the people's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say, if it were you and I in that day, how we might have responded? So Moses had to learn to trust God as well as did the children of Israel. And the signs and wonders that God did, everybody could witness his great power and authority and know that he is God and not the idols that they had been serving over these 430 years, because they were in Egypt doing as the Egyptians did. Now it comes a time when God has heard their cry and he sends them somebody to deliver them out of Pharaoh's hand. But we have to remember God was silent 430 years. Now they've got to try to remember what they used to know about God. And I'm not saying that all of them served idols and did like the Egyptians, but it was being done among the Israelites as it was among the Egyptians. Then Moses is sent to speak to the children of Israel, but they refused to hear him because their spirit was broken. Because the Bible says, for cruel bondage. And then Moses complains unto the Lord again in verse 30 of chapter 6. He says, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And God answers him in Exodus 7 and 1, saying, I have made thee a god, a little g, to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. After God finished making a mockery of all the idols in Egypt, Pharaoh lets God's people go. Then in chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, the children of Israel complained to Moses a second time when they saw the Egyptians were pursuing them, saying unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptian. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Complaint. Now, this cycle of complaint started with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And God endured Moses, because, see, Moses had to have on-the-job training. Moses wasn't taught before he was sent. God called him, and he sent him. It's like Moses went backwards, like God called him. He sent him, apostle. He made him a prophet. And then he was all everything else, evangelist, preacher, teacher. He did it all, fivefold. But now Moses reaped what he had sown in God's ear, that complaining, except on a grander scale. Moses complained to God. The children of Israel complained to Moses and Aaron. And Moses would complain to God, and God would hear him and answer or supply whatever was needed. And I just have always admired how Moses would go to God in this manner, and God would just answer. So that brings me to my second point. Stay faithful to him who called you.
Amen.
Prayerfully, without complaining. But we all have to go to God in prayer, and all the more if you are in leadership. But don't go blaming him for the response or the acts of others. Don't allow people to entice you to sin. You lead according to the word of God, and God will deal with the people. Moses had a great calling to fulfill, and he learned as he went along. And like I said, I think that's why God suffered him to come before him as he did. But I can tell you, God remembered, and Moses reaped complaint as he complained. But all of this is a lesson for all followers of Christ after Moses. That's why it's written of for us to learn. So under Moses' leadership, God hearkened to his voice. But have you heard, as you heard, Moses smiting the rock was not his first offense. God himself, Moses himself said to the children of Israel, your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. That same scripture applied to Moses and to you and I. God remembered his complaining, and his complaining angered God, as Exodus 4 and 14. And as he, Moses, reaped, and as a result, he reaped a nation of complainers, which leads me to my third point. Be careful how you lead. Moses was the exception. Hosea 4 and 9 says, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. The New Living Translation reads this way. And what the priests do, the people do.
Mm-hmm.
So now I will punish both for their wicked ways.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Standard Bible reads this way. The same judgment will happen to both people and priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. This scripture is talking about the priests and the people committing sins. And we all know Moses, along with Aaron, and a generation of people were not allowed to enter the promised land. Same punishment for all. Now, Moses was an awesome man of God. Most of his complaints were concerning himself, his own abilities or lack thereof, or it was for the people's sake. Now, we saw Abraham intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot and his family were spared. But Moses interceded for a nation of people, and they were all spared for a time. Now, that's a relationship. Everybody was spared for a time. Deuteronomy 34 and 10 says, and there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now, as I lay down last night, I was writing in the dark because the Lord was telling me some things concerning Moses. And I have to get up in the morning and try to figure out what I wrote, because I'm writing in the dark because I don't want to wake my husband up. But like I said, ever since I started reading my Bible and reading it over and over, I came to where I admired Moses. Now, Moses did a work thousands of years ago that, with all the resources available today, no man could do, leading a nation of people. He didn't lead them from behind a desk sitting in an office building. He led them through the wilderness. Now, if a man tried that today, to lead people through the wilderness, that many people, they follow him starting out, and as they would go along, someone else would arise calling himself a leader. And some of the people would break off and follow him. Then another would arise calling himself the leader. And some would break off and follow him. Then another. And some would break off and follow him. And every one of them would go in a different direction, including back where they came from. And, you know, we've seen that in your ministry,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Erica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The moment was perfect.
I'm with you, Holy Ghost. I'm right on it.
The Moses wasn't perfect, but with the Lord on his side, he kept a nation together, mm-hmm. and even picked up some strangers as they went along.
Yeah.
So I feel like Moses did an awesome job, though he complained. He did an awesome work because he didn't have the benefit of the word that we have. We got everything we need in Scripture when it comes to leadership, and we'll still make mistakes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, Lord, we repent and we keep it moving.
Yeah.
So now we come to Joshua's leadership. When it's like God said, no more. Now, Joshua was 85 when he began to lead God's people. He was witness to the 40 years in the wilderness. But before that, when God had called Moses up the mountain, he took Joshua, his minister, with him. Moses was on that mountain 40 days and 40 nights with God, while Joshua remained in the tent, the tabernacle, with God, because you know he's omnipresent. While Moses was being given instruction for the people, I believe God was preparing Joshua for his future as leader of the people.
Yes.
And he told Joshua, be careful to obey. This is when, under his leadership now,
mm-hmm.
he told him to be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So now God tells Joshua to arise and go over the Jordan. It's Joshua 1 and 2. As I was with Moses, God says, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. 1 and 5. God tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage 3 times in chapter 1. The people accept him as leader and reiterate God's words, saying to Joshua, only be strong and of good courage. And they say to him, all that thou commandest us, we will do.
Amen.
So Joshua sent out two spies to spy out Jericho. They returned with the help of Rahab with a good report. They crossed over Jordan on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the walled city. And they later spied out Ai. And they brought back a good report. So good that they recommended only 2,000 or 3,000 men go up to battle. So 3,000 men went up, and they were defeated and fled before the men of Ai. Joshua 7:6. Joshua and the elders rent their clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark. Now begins Joshua to complain before the Lord, he and the elders. Joshua 7:7. Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content on the other side. Sounds just like something the children of Israel said. But it's like when I was reading, God said, no more, not again, not this time. He was not interested, and he was not going to hear these complaints. God said, get up. It actually reads in the Message version, get up. Why are you groveling?
Uh-oh.
Now, this was Joshua's first and only complaint, for God dealt with them swiftly. He was not going to let this murmuring and complaining begin again. First, he tells them why they were defeated. Joshua 7:11. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it among their own stuff. When they took Jericho, they were instructed to take the gold, the silver, and bring that stuff into the treasury of the Lord. But Achan stole for his own self. He kept and hid away silver and other stuff, a garment and gold.
Mm-hmm.
So God exposed the guilty party swift and dealt with them swiftly and severely. The family of Achan, the whole family, was stoned to death and then burned before all the people. So God makes sure that they learned and did fear him what he would do if they again failed to obey his laws and commandments. And there was no other complaining from Joshua and the people, for they did no sin, so that they were victorious in every battle until the Lord gave them rest. And that brings me to my fourth point. The Bible is our example. Learn from it. You know, like I said, we all make mistakes, but we have the benefit of the full gospel. If we would just do as God said to Joshua, not turn to the right or to the left, just follow him, keep his laws and commandments, follow him. Now, I once attended a Bible study for a while with a friend, and when suggestions were made from some of the members of that church to one of the ministry heads, she would never, I never heard her, not a time when I was there, agree or disagree. She never made spur-of-the-moment changes to their program. She simply stated, let me pray about that. So learn to seek God first, because not all change is good. It may sound good, but not all change is good. You will always have those who want things done their way, and God ain't in it. He ain't in it. No more excuses, for choices have consequences. No man is perfect, so we all make mistakes. Just remember, as the people see you lead, they will follow. And that's my message. Amen.
Praise God. Father God, we thank you for this message. This morning, Holy Spirit, move through it and let every seed that was planted through this message take root and grow in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh,
know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. They nailed him to the cross, they nailed him to the cross, they nailed him to the cross for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. They pierced him in the side, they pierced him in the side, they pierced him in the side for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Listen to this. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died.
I know it was the blood. Oh,
Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, bring the power of the blood of Jesus, and I sprinkle and I apply the blood of Jesus to every child represented in this ministry. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father, that the blood of the cross stand between the past and the future. And I bind and rebuke every transference of evil intended for any of the children related to now and in the future. Lord God, let the blood of the cross stand between them, Lord God, and every transference of evil intended to them or towards them. Right now, by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, I destroy the works of Satan toward the children or against the children. Lord God, I destroy every vision killer, every dream attacker. Lord God, let the power of the blood of Jesus be released on behalf. Lord God, I don't care if the child is a 99. I bring the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus to revive, re-energize, revitalize, reactivate, and recalibrate all of their potential. I release the voice of the blood of Jesus to destroy all evil intended manipulations against the children. Lord God, let your blood quicken them to what they were taught as little kids, or what they were intended by inheritance, a God-given inheritance to receive. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that your blood would revive, quicken the benefits and the provisions that they have in you. And I thank you, Lord God, right now, for the children, young people, young adults, Lord God, as we stand in the gap for them, look beyond their faults. Even your adult children, look beyond their faults, see their needs, deliver them. We cover them with a blood covering of the blood of Jesus, and we apply the blood right now. Thank you. Thank you.
Amazing grace shall always be my soul's praise. For it was grace that brought my I'll never just why he came to love you. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
them from the intent of the devil. Lord God, send holy angels to protect our children. Holy Spirit, lead and guide them to your saving grace. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. Save our children, Lord God. Be they in the womb or be they 199 years old. My prayer this morning, let the blood speak, Lord Jesus. Save our children.
Yeah.